Hebrews 11, two scriptures from the New Testament, and then a portion from the Old Testament. Hebrews 11, verse 32, and what shall I more say? For the time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. This is doubtless referring to the portion we are going to look at eventually in Daniel chapter 6, and it tells us something that is not brought out clearly in the book of Daniel, that Daniel, by faith, had the mouths of lions stopped. Now, turn back to 2 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy 4, verse 16. At my first defense, no one took my part, but all forsook me. May it not be laid to their account, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now Psalm 22. This is the psalm of our Savior's suffering on the cross, and he is expressing the feelings that were going on in his soul. And it says in verse 11, be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gape upon me with their mouth as a ravening and a roaring lion. Verse 21, save me from the lion's mouth. And now let's look at Daniel chapter 6. I have to read quite a bit, so let your attention span stay with me for a few minutes. Verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, who should be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might give account unto them, and that the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was distinguished above the presidents and the satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. But then you'll find that the satraps are jealous, and they plan a conspiracy against Daniel, and listen to their confession. Verse 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Take that to heart. I wonder if people in the world, looking for something wrong with you, have to make that confession. It speaks about having a good report from them that are without. Daniel had an excellent report from them that were without. They said, we'll never find any fault in him. Listen to what it says concerning him. It says, he was faithful, neither was any error or fault found in him. That is doing his duty in a secular world. Remember that. So what they do is to plan to deceive the king by having an interdict made that for 30 days, no petition may be asked of any god or any man except the king. And they talk him into signing that interdict. All right, now, look at verse 10. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. Now his windows were open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. And he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled together, and found Daniel making petition and supplication before his God. And immediately they go and report it to Darius. Look at verse 13. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, who is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the interdict that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to rescue him. Then the men assembled, and they say, you must carry out your law. And so the king reluctantly carries out that law. Look at verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought, and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of the lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep fled from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste, and he came near unto the den to Daniel, and he cried with a lamentable voice, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he had trusted in his God by faith, Daniel. He had trusted in his God, and the king commanded, and what those enemies of Daniel wanted to have done to him, it was done to them and their children. Let us speak to God in prayer. Our Father, we are so glad for the lives of saints that thou dost record for us, place in the reading of the Scriptures. They thrilled our hearts. We thank you, our God, that whereas we rejoice in the book of Romans, at the same time we have rejoiced in reading the life of Joseph and the life of Jonah and the life of Daniel and his friends. We thank you, Father, for all the lessons that you have for us from these historical portions. So this night, bless this portion to our heart. You know our sins, forgive and cleanse, and prepare hearts and lips, and glorify the name of thy Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. I wish I could tell you to perfection who this Darius is that is being spoken of. Perhaps as you go through the book after I'm gone, you'll be able to pick out just who these men are. But this much we know. You had Nebuchadnezzar, and then you have his son Belshazzar, and after Belshazzar, you have this king that is called Darius. From that, we learn that whereas in the first part of the book of Daniel, that I told you a little bit about Sunday night, he was a teenager. But now Daniel is no less than 80 years of age. Now think of this. As a young man, he was devoted to God, and now, some 60 years later, the man is still devoted to God. How long is your faithfulness? This great confession you made about how you love the Lord and your salvation, this is what is so sad. I see young people in assemblies, in evangelical circles, and they're brought up in Christian homes, and until they are 12 years of age or so, they are brought to the meetings. But then in their teens, they start rebelling, and then they get away from God, And in their old age, where are they to be found? That is what is so sad. But I rejoice that Daniel as a young man was faithful to God, and Daniel as an old man was faithful to God. I'm 64. I trust in the will of God that when I reach 80, if that is that long, it shall be said of me that I'm determined to live for God whatever the consequences are, as much in my old age as I poorly sought to live for God in my younger days. I want you to take this to heart, because to live for God in our days, it might mean this. It might mean that people will look upon you and call you one who is a follower of myths and fables. You are following some outdated religion, but that's about all it's going to cost you today. But in the case of Daniel, both in his youth and in his old age, to serve his God was to serve him at the risk of his life. And I wonder, whereas we look at our teenagers as they come to maturity, and then because we can no more put pressure on them, they get away from God. I'm wondering if those who do carry on, we who are older, I wonder if it meant our lives if we would be faithful to God. But here is an example that God has set before us. And not by name, but by description, it says, this man, Daniel, through faith, stopped the mouths of lions. Now, I want to give one explanation of that. It says, by faith, Sarah received power to conceive seed in her old age, for she counted him faithful. Understand that the faith that is exercised by the saints of God is in God. The faith is in God. And then the God who is omniscient and omnipotent brings to pass the things that they could not bring to pass of themselves. But here is Sarah, and her faith is in God, and God miraculously enables her to have a child in her old age. And in this instance, Daniel has faith in God, and it says God sent his angel to stop the mouths of the lions. You place your faith in God, and you let him work out things the way he will. He does not always work them out the way he did for Daniel, because there was a man who was as faithful, as zealous, as devoted to God as Daniel, and he had a thorn in the flesh, and he besought God three times that he would take that thorn in the flesh away, but God did not take that thorn in the flesh away. And I read to you also in the New Testament from 2 Timothy, and I read to you in the Old Testament from Psalm 22, to bring out two thoughts. That at times, lions are spoken of figuratively, and at times they're spoken of literally. I did not bring that out to explain away the miraculous character that we have described to us in Daniel chapter 6. But to bring consolation to our hearts, inasmuch as how many of you are worried about being thrown to the lions if you disobey some interdict made by those in high places? I think not. However, in the case of Paul, there was this danger, and in his case, remember, it very well could be, because how many were thrown to the lions in early Christianity. Here is Paul, and he says, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. It could have been a literal deliverance out of the mouth of the lion, or it could have been that beast-like power, Rome, that had him, and yet God delivered him out of the mouth of that lion. And concerning our Savior, we know that it was figurative. Concerning his being on the cross, he said that he was compassed about with bulls, strong bulls of Bashan. He speaks of dogs that are around him. And he says, they gape upon me as a ravening and as a roaring lion. And then he says, God, he beseeches his God to deliver him out of the mouth of the lion. But now, in both the cases of Paul and our Savior, they were delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Paul was, one time, because he was in prison and freed, as I read it, and then he's in prison again, but he said, God will deliver me from every captivity and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. But the thing is this, Paul says God will deliver him, and at times he delivers him through liberty and freedom from prison, but he says ultimately, God is going to deliver me, because when we Christians die, it is a deliverance out of the mouth of the lion. For the worldling, it is destruction, and it is their end. But with the child of God, if you read 2 Timothy 4, Paul says that he is going to be delivered from every evil work and preserved unto God's heavenly kingdom. So what does it mean? It means that, as in the case of Paul, he was put to death, and yet, when he was put to death, God simply delivered him out of this lower earthly realm, and he exalted him to realms of glory in his presence. God could have delivered him again and again out of the mouth of the lion, but he did not. At the last, he was not delivered. And our blessed Savior also could have been delivered, because he said, do you not think that I could beseech my Father, and even now he would send me more than 12 legions of angels? He could have been delivered, but it was not the Father's will, and our Savior was in complete compliance with that will. And so the Father delivered him not from death, but out of death. He entered into death, and our Savior makes this petition, and then he says, God has delivered him, but that deliverance is through resurrection. So, child of God, remember this. First of all, that I do not think we have to worry about any literal lions to which we are going to be thrown, unless conditions change in a way that I know nothing of. However, there can be circumstances like unto prison and persecution that could come ever so soon. And as God delivered Daniel, so God can deliver us, because some circumstances are like being in the mouth of the lion. And God can deliver us out of those circumstances. If we are in the power of a nation like Rome, we can be delivered out of the power of the lion. And if even in the case of Christ, it is a matter of death, I think of the words spoken to the church at Smyrna. He says to them, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. So there is a deliverance in store for us. God can miraculously deliver, or God can deliver through death, because there is no such thing as the child of God doing the will of God being overcome. Because the Bible says we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And how, when our Savior says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life, if he tells us to be obedient unto death and we die, have we failed? You say, no. Because it is the earning of the crown of life. So keep those things in mind, that God can, in our circumstances, likened unto being in the mouth of a lion, he can deliver us today, but he can miraculously, as he did miraculously, deliver Daniel in his day. Now, we are not told, but I could not help but laugh as you find some explanations given by the enemies of Daniel. I'm not going to fill in all the details, but there is so much similarity in the things that happened in the Old and the New Testament. When the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead, his watchers were bribed to say that his disciples came by night and took him away. And we are given a report that these satraps and these presidents who worked against Daniel with trickery and had him cast into the den of the lions, when he was delivered from these lions, they said that those lions had been fed and they were so full of food that they had no interest in Daniel, and that is the way that Daniel was delivered. Isn't that remarkable? No matter what we do, there is an explanation of the world. The resurrection of Christ we can't explain it, and so we have to make up a story that the disciples of Christ came and stole him away by night. And here, some would say, why, those lions were so full of food, they were not interested in Daniel. They do not give us an explanation of how, when Daniel is taken out of the den of the lion, suddenly they become famished. And when the other men are cast in, they break their bones and immediately they're prepared to devour them. They never have answers that way. The only consistent answer is that God miraculously delivered this man. And I want you to take that to heart. Because if you're a Bible-believing Christian, many times you're going to be placed in an embarrassing situation. Because if someone came to me and said, you certainly don't believe that story in Daniel 6 about the lion's mouth being stopped, do you? And my answer is, I believe it with all my heart because it is part of Scripture in the Old Testament. It is corroborated in the New Testament. Why, of course, I believe it. They say, I can't believe that. Here is what I want you to understand, that the worldling cannot make himself believe in the miraculous because he does not have that living faith. But if you are a true child of God, and if the faith that you have is that faith that is flesh and blood is not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven, with that faith will come the ability to accept the miraculous content of the Old and the New Testament. And so there are so many worldlings that are saying, I'm trying to believe it, I'm trying to believe it, but they'll never be able to believe it. Well, once you become a child of God and know the truth of the Word of God, you say, yes, you accept it by faith. Let me ask you, can you tell me and confirm it to me that this universe that we see was not made out of things which appear? You say no, but it says, by faith we understand. And in like manner, the miraculous contained in this book, you're never going to be able to explain it, but by faith we understand about the creation of the universe out of nothing by God, and also the miraculous intervention by God in the case of Daniel in chapter 6. So we are put in this position that, as Paul said, we are a laughing stock. We are made a spectacle to the world and to angels, and we are put here, and we are supposed to believe this book from Genesis to Revelation, and I rejoice in it that I do believe in it. Understand that at times there are things figuratively spoken of, but at times they are not figurative things. The resurrection of Christ was not figurative, and neither is this figurative. It's not mentioned as a story. Our Savior walking upon the water, that is not figurative, and God places it before us and expects us to believe it, because if the Savior, of whom it's written that he performed so many miracles, if this Savior is not able to walk on the water, and if this Savior is not able to raise Lazarus from the dead, what hope do you have that when you die and your body returns to dust from whence it was made, that this Savior is going to be able to raise you from the dead? You say, true. And so you look with confidence, Christ doing the impossible when he was on earth, and then by faith we look to the promises that he's made concerning the future, and we say that he'll do it again. So remember that God can work the miraculous, and at certain times, remember, only certain periods of time does God do the miraculous. You will find hundreds of years without a miracle, and then Moses comes, and miracles begin being performed, and they're performed all throughout the life of Moses and Joshua and some of the judges, and then in the time of Samuel, miracles. But then you have hundreds of years that go by, no miracles. But then the Savior comes upon the scene, and for some 100 years until about 100 A.D., miracles are performed. And to my knowledge, since A.D. 100, there has never been a New Testament miracle performed the way that Paul would heal and raise from the dead, and leprosy would be healed. And yet, because it hasn't been done for hundreds of years, it is following the pattern set forth in the Bible that God does not always do the miraculous. But what he does today is this. He delivers the same way, but he does it in a mysterious way so that we know the source of our deliverance, but the world looks at it And he says, you lucky dog. Or it was chance. They would explain it some way. But we see the providence of God. We see the hand of God in the deliverances that we have. And we can say, in a figurative sense, God delivered me out of the mouth of the lion. That is what we have to look forward to. All right, this. One lesson that's most important. It tells us in Romans chapter 13 that we are to obey the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. But here are the higher powers, and the higher powers say, you are not to pray or ask a petition of any man for 30 days. But let me ask you, suppose the government, and the government has told you that you can't pray in the schools. Do you understand that? You say, yes. And the government has come and intruded upon many of our rights. Well, what are we to do? I suppose if you go to a public school, you have to obey them. But suppose the government tells you you are not permitted to tell anybody about your Savior. Not for 30 days, not for 30 years. Why? I would just turn to Romans 13 and say, well, that's good. It embarrassed me to testify concerning my Savior, and I have to be obedient to higher powers. But for the sake of time, I will bring two scriptures to your attention. Anything that they tell you to do that is not against the Word of God, you are required to do it. But any time they would compel you by law to do things that are contrary to the Word of God, you are not to do it. In both chapter 4 and 5, when they were told, the disciples were told, we commanded you not to preach in this name. You're going to bring this man's blood upon us. And Peter said, whether it is right in the sight of God to hearken unto you rather than unto God, judge you. You say, yes. And in chapter 5, when they were told, do not preach in this name anymore, Peter said, we must obey God rather than man. And for that reason, if the world tells us to kill when God says, thou shalt not kill, and if the world tells you not to pray and not to witness concerning your Savior, then I expect that you and I, if we're going to be men of faith, are going to be like Daniel, and we're going to trust God, whatever the consequence might be. When Daniel knew that this interdict was signed, understand that he could have gone in and fought it. He could have gone in and told the king what was being done to him, but he did absolutely nothing. When he knew that this law was signed, it said this. When he knew that the interdict was signed, it says, he went into his house. Now his windows were open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, and he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before the God as he did aforetime. Is any law that man makes going to change your religious habits and stop you from praying and thanking God and communing with God? If it is, then you are not the child of God that you should be. If someone would say, if you pray again, if you remember the Lord again, if you follow out the tenets of your religion anymore, you're going to be put to death. I trust that God would give me strength to do as Daniel did, to understand that the law is passed, and he did not even close the windows. Now, I think I would do that. I want you to remember that there are those in the Bible who have been given God's commands, and they're not as brave as Daniel. Some of them, it says, like Gideon, was told to destroy his father's idol, and it said, when Gideon couldn't do it by day, he did it by night. Now, I might continue to pray, but I think I would say, I believe I'll close those windows so they can't see what's going on, and I would try to get around it. But there are some people, like unto Daniel, who say, I see no reason to alter my devotion to God. I'm going to carry on as I have all along. But now, if you do that, remember, you can expect the consequences. What we would want is a miracle that they would not even cast us in the lion's den. But later, we shall see the opposite part of this. But Daniel is prepared to carry on his devotion to God, whatever the consequences might be, because he must obey God rather than men. And whether it's right in the sight of God to obey you rather than God, you judge. So here is Daniel, and because of his faith, he stopped the mouths of lions. God has given us Daniel, an example of faith. Now, time is gone.